Now, it's such a delight to welcome onto the show Honor Blackman. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Pleasure.
Now, before we talk about the event you're presenting for the 50th anniversary of James Bond, I'd just like to touch on the fact you've played so many wonderful roles over the years. I mean, few people can forget you as charm personified as Miss Cartwright opposite Norman Wisdom in The Square Peg, and particularly as the wonderful Kathy Gale in The Avengers. I mean, she really was unlike any character seen on TV before, smart, sexy, intelligent, and could hold her own in any fight scenario. Did you enjoy portraying these two different characters?
Yes, so funny you mentioning the Norman Wisdom film, because I laughed from beginning to end of that because of Wizzy was so funny. Oh, and The Avengers, of course, was a very different proposition, in as much as after I split my trousers in one of the fights very, very early on, and it doesn't matter that you split your trousers, but it does if you do it with your backside to the camera.
Oh, whoops.
And they didn't think that was a good idea if I did it too often. So that's when, A, we started the leather, because we had to get something that was tougher. And that's the reason that everybody thinks we did it, because it was sexy. Well, it turned out to be sexy, but that wasn't the intention.
It was more practical reasons, really, by the sounds of it, wasn't
it? Absolutely. And I had to learn judo, and it was quite something, because I fondly imagined I would have private lessons. And when I went down for my first lesson, I went down the steps of this gym in London, and the smell of human sweat and the noise of the men breaking fall, which is banging on the floor, well, not on the floor, on the mat, to take the force out of your body, was quite intimidating.
Now, you have such a distinctive and sophisticated voice. I was intrigued to find out that on your 16th birthday, your father offered you the choice of elocution lessons or a bicycle, and you chose elocution lessons. Why did you do that?
Well, my father quite rightly thought that, and it certainly applied at that time, that you stand much more chance in life if you could speak well. Well, since my mother and father were, I suppose, tantamount to Cockneys, because I was born in Plaistow in the East End of London, and my father was a very bright cookie, and from that background was quite amazing. He became quite senior in the civil service eventually, but he was always aware that his speech wasn't like all the public school boys that were there. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, he knew and I knew that it was better if I could learn to speak well. And I was introduced in my lessons to poetry and plays, and I knew nothing about that sort of world at all. And I found it thrilling, and my teacher thought I had talent and I ought to go to drama school, so that's how it all happened, really by accident. It wasn't that as a child I longed to be an actress.
No.
To tell the truth, I fondly imagined when I did start hearing about the theatre, I thought people did it because it was a pleasure. Well, it is a pleasure. But I didn't think that they got paid for it. It was extraordinary.
No, it's just the love of it, isn't it, really? That's where often it starts. But of course, you're no stranger to using your voice in a musical way, as you were in 1981 in the London revival of The Sound of Music opposite Petula Clark, which opened to rave reviews at the time and the largest advance ticket sales in British theatre history. I mean, that must have been such a great buzz.
Yes, it was terrific. Well, it was with Petula Clark, who was lovely and very professional, and I don't know if she was ever off. I was in it for 13 months, which was a long time, and so was she. And I don't know that she was ever sick. She's a really stalwart character. But that started me off in all sorts of musicals. And I did On Your Toes. I did something called Nonsense. I later on recently did Cabaret. It's a part that wasn't included in the film because it was an elderly couple.
Oh, Fräulein Schneider, was it?
That's right,
yes.
Yes.
That's a wonderful part, isn't it? And also,
yes, it is.
Yes. Mrs. Higgins as well. You played in My Fair Lady. I mean, they're wonderful roles. What was it about them you enjoyed playing so much?
Well, I mean, if you're in your dressing room and the overture starts, it starts the excitement, and it's... I love music anyway, and I've been lucky enough to be in musicals that have terrific numbers. And
yes,
it's much more exciting, in a way, than straight theatre. Though, of course, I love straight theatre, just the same, but there's a sort of kick you get out of hearing the music.
Oh, yes.
I think everybody understands that.
Oh, definitely. I mean, they're incredible, aren't they? Goosebump time, isn't it, really?
Yes.
I mean, as opposed to working on a film set, or, as you're saying, as part of a large cast, how did you find the experience of performing your one-woman show entitled Word of Honour?
Well, I've done four one-woman shows, actually. When I did my first one, which was ridiculous. Well, it went very well, but it was ridiculous to attempt that. It was about Yvette Guilbert, who was what they call a diseuse, which is a cross between a singer and an actress, because she wasn't famous for the way she sang, but she sang wonderful songs about drunks, about love, about marriage, all sorts of things, and people going to the guillotine because she was at the end of the 19th century. And I sang all the songs in French very fast, which was really going some. And that was an extraordinary thing to start off with, and my director suggested it. And I was lemon enough to go along with it. But it was a very good test, because nothing could frighten me more than that.
No.
And when you on the first night of a one-person show, you do think, oh, my God, here we go.
Yes.
But I'm lucky now that I've been so successful with them that I really enjoy it. And this last one that I'm going to do next year is about my life. And we tried it out. My director suggested that I did it as a Q&A, question and answer, because he knows my life very well, because he was going to direct me when I was going to do it entirely by myself. So it works so much better as a sort of conversation, and we can laugh and the audience can laugh with us, and yeah, it's like they're part of the conversation.
Yeah,
sounds a great idea. So I start that off in March, I think.
Oh, well, that's something to look forward to. That sounds great. It sounds a really good concept, way to do that.
Yes.
As well as numerous television roles and playing the ultimate female lead in a Bond movie, which we'll talk about in just a moment, you starred in a noir thriller called Anna, co-starring Charlotte Rampling and Gabriel Byrne. What was it about the script that appealed to you?
Well, actually, I dashed in and out of that film. I mean, it's a very small cameo. And it was just a very good script. I haven't seen it yet. And I played this woman who lived the sort of life that none of us would like to live as far as sex is concerned. And she's a real toughie. And it was an interesting script.
We're aware that it's the 50th anniversary of James Bond, and I have to say, no other actress has played a Bond leading lady with so much style and sex appeal as you.
Oh, no. Well, thanks.
That's all right.
I mean, she was a terrific character.
Yeah.
It's one of the things, one of the banes of my life, that people refer to me as a Bond girl.
Mm, no.
Because if you're a Bond girl, the implication is you're a bimbo, and you fall flat on your back when you see James Bond. And Pussy Galore was so far from that kind of character.
Oh, absolutely.
She was a very independent woman who ran an air force of her own, let's face it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. A match for any Bond, I can tell you. But of course, I mean, when you were first approached to play the part of Pussy Galore in the film Goldfinger, were you aware of the Ian Fleming's books, and what did you personally feel about the character you portrayed? And also, did you enjoy throwing Sean Connery over your shoulder in the judo scene?
Well, I hadn't read the book, but of course, obviously, I read the book when I was offered it, and I thought it was great, except I don't know if you know that in the book she was a lesbian to start with,
no.
And Ian Fleming was such a dear old-fashioned thing then. People didn't understand homosexuals as well as they do now. And he fondly imagined that somebody as dishy as Sean Connery or somebody like that would turn you, which was, it's very funny now.
Yes.
But I mean, I was really thrilled to play the part because it was that they all cut out of the film. They didn't include that in the script. But the only problem I had, they made a great fuss about my name in this country, but, you know, the film wasn't distributed in the States at first. They wouldn't distribute it because of me and my name.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until they saw a picture on the front of a newspaper of me talking to Prince Philip, and it was headlined, "The Prince and the Pussy," that they decided to let the film through, and that's how it got distributed in the States.
Really?
So I have a lot to thank Prince Philip for.
Yes, absolutely. Now, of course, I mean, it's a very physical part as well again, so you were doing your judo once more and throwing Sean Connery over your shoulder. Were there many takes involved in that?
Many takes?
Mm.
No,
you threw
remember
it the first time.
One, actually.
Oh, very good.
Well, I mean, I was very good at it at that point, and it was really very funny for me because I'd been doing judo. I came directly after the Avengers to Goldfinger, and I'd been doing for 2 years for judo on the cement floor of the studio. And, I mean, I don't think people realize that the Avengers had only my beginning, because I started it, had only one commercial break. So one ran from scene to scene, changing one's clothes to get to the next set, because you had to go one after the other after the other. So if I just done a fight and had to play a scene with particularly Patrick, I had to, because I was breathing rather heavily, I had to not breathe rather heavily because it looked as if I was panting after speed. So, but it was quite a test.
Oh, yeah.
So doing the judo on the cement, when I came to do it in Goldfinger with Sean, and they piled up the hay and the straw and what have you, because they were so afraid I'd get hurt. Mm. And they kept saying, "Is that all right, Anna? Is that, can you do that?" And to me, it was just a piece of cake to land on something vaguely soft.
Yes, yes.
And
after all the previous work, yes.
It was very different and, for me, luxurious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wonderful. Now, of course, I mean, who would have thought that your Avengers skill would be such an asset in your latest film, Cockneys versus Zombies, with you having to use a mallet to club zombies to death and keep others at bay with an AK-47 rifle?
Yeah.
I mean, the film sounds absolutely brilliant and a wonderful cast. I understand that the film is now available on DVD.
Yes,
was it a hoot to make?
It's just come out on DVD.
Yes.
I haven't seen it yet, which is awful. I was abroad when the premiere happened, and I've been so busy since I haven't seen it, but I will. Well, I can have a DVD now, can't I?
Absolutely.
Nobody ever sends you one.
Oh.
You would think that they would.
Absolutely.
When you're in it.
Yes. How mean. But
yes.
I mean, I guess it was good fun to, it must have been good fun to be part of that. Did you enjoy the process?
Yes. Yes, I did. I mean, I have to say that we were in the East End all the time. I mean, I was within sort of spitting distance of where I was born.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
It was jolly cold, and we were by the river, and it was very tough.
Mm.
And since we were all not very young people, but working with Richard Briers, and other wonderful character actors, it was great fun, and Richard is so funny in it.
Aww.
So, yes.
That's lovely.
Well,
isn't
mean,
it?
I know he's funny because he was funny at the time, and everybody says.
Oh, it's great. It's lovely when you have a nice experience with an ensemble cast when you're working on something and it comes through on the screen as well. So, yeah, look forward to seeing that. It's going to be fantastic. But, of course, now we're back to the 50th anniversary year of James Bond. Understandably, there's numerous Bond-related events taking place, but audiences are in for a real treat as you're presenting at the prestigious event that is the James Bond 50th Anniversary Gala, which is going to be held in London at the Royal Festival Hall on the 23rd of November. Now, it sounds amazing. I believe audiences can expect to hear all the 22 Bond films with Carl Davis conducting. Are you looking forward to it as much as we are?
Oh, yes, I am. Because, I mean, I don't know how many we've done, but they are fantastically popular. And what is so good about it is the fact that every member of the family, it doesn't matter what age group, everybody loves Bond. That's a sweeping statement, but almost everybody in the world, I suppose, loves Bond.
Yes.
And you don't appreciate the music so much, obviously, because the action's going on. So when you hear it, it brings back all the memories. And it is with children, with old people, with young people. We have everybody in the audience, and it's always packed out. We've played twice at the Albert Hall with it.
Mm.
And it's always so popular. So I really look forward to it because I do the narration all the way through. Carl conducts the orchestra, which is a fabulous orchestra of wherever we happen to be. And I say who played Bond and who said what to whom and the reactions and so on and so forth. So it's really very interesting for them because they follow the whole story of Bond.
It sounds an absolutely wonderful event, and I'm sure the magic of Bond and your presence will send a thrill of excitement around the auditorium. Now, I wish you all the best, and it just remains for me to thank you so much, Honna, for spending the time with me today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. And that was the wonderful Honna Blackman, the truly gifted and legendary Bond actress, who will be presenting at the 50th Anniversary Gala on the 23rd of November at the Royal Festival Hall.